Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Verse Number 5. Sampada Kratavo Loka Maheshi Parataro Mahi Jambu Dvipa Dipatyam Cha Yashascha tri divam gatam. News even reached the celestial planets about Maharaj Yudhisthira's worldly possessions, the sacrifices by which he would attain a better destination, his queen, his stalwart brothers, his extensive land, his sovereignty over the planet Earth, and his fame, etc. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Only a rich and great man's name and fame are known all over the world, and the name and fame of Maharaj Yudhisthira reached the higher planets because of his good administration, worldly possessions, glorious wife Draupadi, the strength of his brothers Bhima and Arjuna, and his solid sovereign power over the world, known as Jambudvipa. Here, the word loka, is significant. There are different lokas, or higher planets, scattered all over the sky, both material and spiritual. A person can reach them by dint of his work in the present life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, no forceful entrance is allowed there. The tiny material scientists and engineers who have discovered vehicles to travel over a few thousand miles in outer space will not be allowed entrance. That is not the way to reach the better planets. One must qualify himself to enter into such happy planets by sacrifice and service. Those who are sinful in every step of life can expect only to be degraded into animal life, to suffer more and more the pangs of material existence. And this is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Maharaj Yudhisthira's good sacrifices and qualifications were so lofty and virtuous that even the residents of the higher celestial planets were already prepared to receive him as one of them. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, so a lot of interesting points here. Number one is the verse 925, which says, let's see what it says. Yanti deva ritan devam pitrin vanti prithivrita bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mad yajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me, Krishna says. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So what did Prabhupada say? He said that a person can reach them, meaning the different lokas and higher planets, both material and spiritual, because there are a few spiritual planets and the higher material planets, like Dhruva Loka and also Sweta Dripa and there might be some more. Anyway, those two I know for sure. So it says here that a person can reach them, these material and spiritual planets, higher planets, by dint of his work in the present life, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.25. So Prabhupada explains, if one has any desire to go to the moon, the sun, or any other planet, one can attain the desired destination by following specific Vedic principles recommended for that purpose. with such as the process technically known as Darsha Purnamasi. These are vividly described in the fruit of activities portion of the Vedas, which recommends a specific worship of demigods situated on different heavenly planets. Similarly, one can attain the Pita planets by performing a specific yajna. Similarly, one can go to many ghostly planets and becomes a yaksha, raksha, or pisacha. Pisacha worship is called black arts or black magic. There are many men who practice this black art, and they think that it is spiritualism. But such activities are completely materialistic. Similarly, a pure devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead only achieves the planets of Vaikuntha and Krishna Loka without a doubt. It is very easy to understand through this important verse that if by simply worshiping the demigods, one can achieve the heavenly planets, or by worshiping the Pitas, achieve the Pita planets, or by practicing the black arts, achieve the ghostly planets, why can the pure devotee not achieve the planet of Krishna or Vishnu? Unfortunately, many people have no information of these sublime planets where Krishna and Vishnu live, and because they do not know of them, they fall down. Even the impersonalists fall down from the Brahma Jyoti. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore distributing sublime information to the entire human society to the effect that by simply chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become perfect in this life and go back home, back to Godhead. There you go. You want to be perfect, you chant Hare Krishna. You want to be imperfect, you chant, I don't know, something else. Bibapa Luba. You go to the demon planets. That's why you can see there's so many ridiculous songs that are written in this world. And people are chanting them and memorizing them. And what happens? They remember that at the moment of death. And then they go to some ghostly planet. You can see how dangerous the mantras, I mean, the culture is today. You know, kids memorize these stupid things. They end up in a horrible situation at the end of life. Okay, so that's very interesting point. And then Prabhupada says, no forceful entrance is allowed there. You can't just go to a planet like the moon or heavenly planets or even the ghostly planets without a preparation. Of course, the preparation to go to the ghostly planets, that's being practiced every day. You start by meat eating, and then it goes to, you know, body deformation and tattoos and then all kinds of crazy things that people do to their body to look strange. And then engage in illicit activities and taking drugs. And all that is preparation for going to the ghostly planets. If they just understood what they're trying to do, well, actually, they become accustomed to that ghostly culture. So then when they end up in these horrible planets, it might not be so bad for them. They're already used to eating stool and living in stool, so they train themselves now to like those things. So that's a horrible culture. So all these attempts at space research is futile and childish and basically stupid. Prabhupada says, one must qualify himself to enter into such happy planets by sacrifice and service. So, sacrifice and service, two key words, two S words, sacrifice and service. So, what does it mean by sacrifice? Well, that's explained in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And if we want to actually elevate ourselves, here is a description. And it says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanahutam Brahmaiva Tenagantavya Brahmakarma Svabhavajam Samadhina Brahmakarma Samadhina. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities. Okay. But then it says, some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them, and some offer sacrifices in the fire of the supreme Brahman. And then it says, some, the unadulterated brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control, and others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. So you sacrifice your hearing to only hearing spiritual subjects, and you sacrifice your worshiping by only worshiping Krishna, or if you have less knowledge, the demigods. And then you can be a regulated householder and sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. So you sacrifice your accumulated so-called assets in different ways. And then others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. So that's mystical yoga or Ashtanga yoga, and or the explanation is given by Patanjali in his Yoga Sutras. Pratyag Atma and Parag Atma. As long as the soul is attached to sense enjoyment, it is called Parag Atma. But as soon as the same soul becomes detached from such sense enjoyment, it is called Pratyag Atma. The soul is subjected to the functions of 10 kinds of air at work within the body, and this is perceived through the breathing system. The Patanjali system of yoga instructs one on how to control the functions of the body's air in a technical manner, so that ultimately all functions of the air within become favorable for purifying the soul of material attachment. According to this yoga system, Pratyag Atma is the ultimate goal. This Pratyag Atma is withdrawn from activities in matter. The senses interact with the sense objects, like the ear for hearing, eyes for seeing, nose for smelling, tongue for tasting, hand for touching, and all of them are thus engaged in activities outside the self. They are called the functions of the pranavayu. The apanavayu goes downwards. Vyana vayu acts to shrink and expand. Samana vayu adjusts the equilibrium. Udana vayu goes upward. And when one is enlightened, one engages all these in searching for the supreme, for self-realization. So you can see it's a very arduous, complicated process. Definitely not recommended in this age. And it doesn't even compare with the process of Krishna, which is chanting, dancing, feasting, and hearing, and serving. And then it says, having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities, by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. So you have the karma yogis, the jnana yogis, the astanga yogis, and the bhaktas. Right. And then still others who are inclined to the process of breath restraint to remain in trance, practice by offering the movement of the outgoing breath into the incoming and the incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Others curtailing the eating process, offer the outgoing breath into itself as a sacrifice. So you see it gets more and more complicated. And But then Prabhupada concludes by saying, Mamchayo vibhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatityaitam brahma vuyaya kalpate. One who engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord transcends the modes of material nature and is immediately elevated to the spiritual platform. So that's the path chosen by the pure Vaishnavas. So that's another alternate translation where it says, that's 4:29. Okay, so it says, one who engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord transcends the modes of material nature and is immediately elevated to the spiritual platform. Whereas in 14:26 it says, one who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So you see that's an alternate translation. All right, so then, a Krishna-conscious person begins from the transcendental stage and he is constantly in that consciousness. Therefore, there is no falling down and ultimately he enters into the abode of the Lord without delay. The practice of reduced eating is automatically done when one eats only Krishna prasadam or food which is offered first to the Lord. Reducing the eating process is very helpful in the matter of sense control, and without sense control, there is no possibility of getting out of the material entanglement. There you go. And then, in conclusion, it says, all these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions, and having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifices, they advance toward the supreme eternal atmosphere. And Prabhupada concludes by saying, from the foregoing explanation of different types of sacrifice, namely sacrifice of one's possessions, study of the Vedas or philosophical doctrines and performance of the yoga system, it is found that the common aim of all is to control the senses. Sense gratification is the root cause of material existence. And what do they teach mostly in school? Sense gratification. That's why mundane education is very dangerous, because it trains you to stay in the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, unless and until one is situated on a platform apart from sense gratification, there is no chance of being elevated to the eternal platform of full knowledge, full bliss, and full life. This platform is the eternal atmosphere or Brahman atmosphere. All the above-mentioned sacrifices help one to become cleansed of the sinful reactions of material existence. By this advancement in life, not only does one become happy and opulent in this life, but also at the end he enters into the eternal kingdom of God, either merging into the impersonal Brahman or associating with the Supreme Lord of Godhead, Krishna, or Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And then finally he says, O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice one can never live happily on this planet or in this life, and what then of the next? So we see sacrifice and service, two very important principles for advancing in spiritual life, and how to qualify oneself to enter into happy planets. So those who are sinful in every step of life can expect only to be degraded into animal life, to suffer more and more the pangs of material existence, and this is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Well, 16:19 says, let's see what it says, 16:19, Tamaham drisitam kuran samare sunaradamam shipam yajasram asuban asurisveva yonisu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. So, And now it says, in this verse, it is clearly indicated that the placing of a particular individual soul in a particular body is the prerogative of the supreme will. The demoniac person may not agree to accept the supremacy of the Lord, and it is a fact that he may act according to his own whims. So once on a flight, I was sitting next to this lady, and we got into a little bit of a discussion, and she had said that she had read the Tibetan Book of the Dead. That was the extent of her so-called spiritual knowledge. And I told her, well, there's some misunderstanding in that book. She said, what do you mean misunderstanding? She was implying, who are you to say there's a misunderstanding in that book? I said, in that book it says that you can determine your next life by certain activities that you do. She said, yeah, that's right. I said, that's not exactly right. I said, what? What do you mean it's not right? I said that your next body will be determined by superior authority. She said, superior authority? Who's that? I said, well, ultimately it's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I said, that's a bunch of nonsense. I said, well, I'm sorry, ma'am, but that's not what the Vedic scriptures say. She said, well, who cares what the Vedic scriptures say? I'm talking about the Tibetan Book of the Dead. I said, look, in one sense, whatever you do in this life will determine what you're going to be in the next life. But the actual choice of the body is made by higher authorities, not by you. And she just, you know, refused to accept that. This is why, you know, there's so many books out there that people read, and then there's interpretations and misinterpretations, and then people get stuck on something. But right here it says, in this verse it is clearly indicated that the placing of a particular individual soul in a particular body is the prerogative of the supreme will. There it is. The demoniac person may not agree to accept the supremacy of the Lord, and it is a fact that he may act according to his own whims. But his next birth will depend upon the decision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not on himself. That's it right there. See? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, it is stated that any individual soul, after his death, is put into the womb of a mother where he gets a particular type of body. This is a third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Under the supervision of superior power. Therefore, in the material existence we find so many species of life, animals, insects, men, and so on. All are arranged by the superior power. They are not accidental. As for the demoniac, it is clearly said here that they are perpetually put in the wombs of demons, and thus they continue to be envious, the lowest of mankind. Such demoniac species of men are held to be always full of lust, always violent and hateful, and always unclean. The many kinds of hunters in the jungle are considered to belong to the demoniac species of life. There's so many hunters in the United States. So we need to understand things from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, not by these bogus scriptures like the Tibetan Book of the Dead and this thing and that thing, you know, because otherwise people get this idea, well, I can control my next life, you know. No, it's not a fact. You can, yeah, if you act whimsically, you're going to get a lower birth, and if you act responsibly, you might get a higher birth, but the choice of that body and where you're going to be placed is made by higher authorities, not by you. Hari Bol. So then, and those who are sinful in every step of life can expect only to be degraded into animal life, to suffer more and more the pangs of material existence, and this is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Maharaj Yudhisthira's good sacrifices and qualifications were so lofty and virtuous that even the residents of the higher celestial planets were already prepared to receive him as one of them. So you see, everything depends on sacrifice and service, not on sense gratification and demoniac activities. Haribo. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions? Well, no, we have to tell them, look, you're making a mistake. And so I told that lady, I said, you've been misled. What you're saying is not true. Yeah, you act in a certain way, and, you know, you're going to go up or down, but the choice of that next body, you don't make that choice. It's made by higher authorities. So whatever you've read in the Tibetan Book of the Dead is wrong. Because it doesn't... Anything that does not come close or exactly the same as what's in the Vedas is wrong. We have to be convinced of that ourselves. Otherwise, how can you convince another person? So if the Tibetan Book of Dead says something a little bit different than what Bhagavatam says, then we should say that's not right. And they say, well, how do you know? I said, because we base our knowledge on the Vedas, and the Vedas are superior. It's superior knowledge. It's coming directly from the spiritual world. She might say, well, that's your belief. I said, no, it's not a question of belief. You should be much more rational. You're being emotional right now. If you're rational, say, well, let me try it then. Let me experiment and see if it's a fact. See? I said, you should be scientific. If someone's making a claim, so you should put it to the test. And if it works, then you know it's true. And if it doesn't work, then you know it might not be true. But you have to follow, the test has to be a rigorous test. It can't be a sloppy test. You have to actually engage in bona fide sacrifice and service, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Right? So I just showed you where it's explained. It's the fourth chapter. Up to the 30th verse explains different types of sacrifices that lead to elevation to the higher material planets or to the spiritual planets. So we have to be convinced, and then we have to know where the information is, and you know what does it mean, sacrifice and service. It's just two words, right? But sacrifice is a whole description of it here, and service also, there's a whole description of it. So unless you know these things, you can't really preach. You just get stuck. Most devotees don't pay attention to classes. They don't really, you know, take notes. They don't really follow it day after day. It just, you know, hit or miss, you know. Some speaker comes and is going to speak for 3 days. They come for three, four days. They listen. And, you know, in one ear, out the other ear, and they say, oh, that was great, you know, seminar. But what did they catch from it? Right? Not that much. You have to keep hearing on a daily basis and discussing and thinking. Then you'll catch something. Seminars are good, but they're not... It's more entertainment than actual learning. There's some learning, but it's not substantial enough to keep a person out of Maya on a regular basis. Any other questions? Haribol. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.